But I do think that's something practically, as you think about these things with friends, family members, community, your kids, spouse, to think through, like, are these flagrant fouls or is this just like part of the game of living in community and life and with broken people that bump into each other? And I do think, you know, biblically there's a principle of like, can I step over it? You know, like, is this something that I need to go through a whole restoration process with someone, or is this something that I can go, that hurt? Lord, they didn't know what they were saying. I forgive them and I really can step over it and move on.
Hey everybody, I'm Suzanne.
And I'm Lindsay.
And welcome to the Find and Follow podcast, where our goal is to help you engage your faith outside of Sunday. Today, we are in the midst of our series for Lent, for the season of Lent, and we are diving into different themes and topics around, and spiritual practices around Lent. And so today's topic is forgiveness. And joining us to have a conversation about forgiveness is Chris Payne. Welcome, Chris. We're so glad to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
One of our favorites.
We say that to everyone. We actually do.
We do mean it.
Everyone's our favorite.
So Chris, you are lead pastor, so I think most people know you. But today we want to just really talk a little bit about the practice of forgiveness, but let's start with the beginning and go with definition. Like, how would you define forgiveness?
I think forgiveness is unburdening someone.
Okay.
And where I would go with that is like even the word forgive, the word give, isn't it? So you're giving someone, not a pass, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But you're giving someone a gift of unburdening them from something that they would be indebted to you, you know, whether they realize they are or not, because of a word, an action, something that, an offense, a sin. Yeah. And you're unburdening them from what they would owe you for that.
That's good.
And we can talk, obviously there's a lot more to that.
There's
we can
a
talk
lot
about
to that. I read a definition once from Tim Keller, and I don't remember where I read it, but, and it really stuck with me about forgiveness, but he says the essence of forgiveness is absorbing the pain instead of giving it. And I think that stuck with me because I'm a, just Enneagram language, I'm a one. And so I'm very right and wrong and justice and consequence. You know, that's just kind of the way my brain is. Yeah. And so when someone inflicts pain on me, my response can be like, I want you to know that that was hurt. Yes. Like, I want you to feel that pain. I want you to feel it. I feel it. So that, when I read that, I was like, oh, forgiveness is absorbing that. And I think giving it to Christ, right? And laying it to Christ and not absorbing it as in like keeping it, but I think as not giving it, you know, you're not, and that's my instinct when I've been hurt is I want you to know, I want you to feel that, I want to hurt back, I want consequence, and that's not the way of the cross. And so that Tim Keller is like absorbing the pain instead of giving it. That's good. Always is in my mind when I think about forgiveness.
I think that's a really good picture. You know, absorbing, releasing the burden, both of those things are a lightening of you're giving the gift of to the other person of like the release. But we can talk a little bit more about that because I think there's more to that. But how do you practice forgiveness? Like, how does that play into our daily lives? Our relationship with Christ? Because we've been forgiven much. So how do we do that in our life?
Well, I don't have all the answers to that.
But
I would say you said something really important there in the question, and you connected it to the way that we've been forgiven. And I know practically for me, I find myself being able to unburden or absorb, I love that, the offense or the pain, the more I realize how much has been absorbed for me and how much I realize that I've been forgiven. And this is really the way of the cross and the way of the scriptures is that, you know, forgiveness is a gift that you receive first and then you give. And so I'm not sure, we can talk about this, but I'm not sure you can fully forgive someone until you know you've been forgiven. I think you could try to forget about it, release them, but I'm not sure like biblical forgiveness, that unburdening or absorption of the pain or not a need to pay back can be given until you realize that you've been forgiven. So I think to your question, I think for just as we think about this together as a community, I do think the more, and in even in the Lenten season, as we march towards the cross, like the more that we realize what the burden that has been absorbed for us and the gift that's been given to us, of release. Mm-hmm. I think that's mm-hmm. the way of being able to do that for other people. Mm-hmm. I don't, for me, yeah, practically, maybe you guys, mm-mm. I can't power up to get there. No. Like, I can power up to get, like, I'm just going to move on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And kind of dismiss mm-hmm. this person or situation. Mm-hmm. But I can't get to like a biblical, I'm releasing you of this. And I'm willing to absorb yeah. the pain.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
How do you do that? Like, what is that? Not how do you do that, but like, mm-hmm. is it through prayer or coming back to the Word of God to remember what Christ has done for you in those moments.
Yeah, yeah, I think, and I'm sure each of you can think of visceral moments. Yes. I think it's a process.
Yes, yeah.
Because I don't know about you guys, but I have forgiven people that have deeply wounded me and then inadvertently picked it back up and realized later on I laid that down. Mm-hmm. And released that and absorbed it. Yeah. And then somewhere along the way, I picked it back up.
Yeah.
So I do it's for me, I think if you can attach some practices to that, like even, it may sound cheesy, but like writing it out and praying a prayer over that and burning it or tearing it up, releasing it, something physically I had a friend one time that said they kind of gathered up, like, it sounds strange, but like leaves like that fell in the fall and they were naming them as offenses and then put them in a stream and let them float away. Mm-hmm. It was a physical
release.
I'm releasing this. Mm-hmm. But I would just say, I think practically, like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
I think there's different ways, but I think attaching it to some kind of a spiritual, physical practice, which I know we're talking about in Lent. And then for me, I do think forgiveness is a moment in time where that does happen, but then you have to continue to remind yourself every day that you've forgiven that person. Mm-hmm. So, because I do think part of the way the enemy works is to pull out, you know, you shouldn't let that person go. That, like, they're getting off free, you know, they're not, they're living their best life and you're having to absorb all of this and reminding yourself, no, I let that go. Mm-hmm. You know, I forgave them. And maybe this gets into a little bit like, forgiveness isn't releasing someone of consequences that they might face for that. Like if for some people watching, engaging right now, there might be legal ramifications to that of like, you could forgive someone that has literally and legally offended you or trespassed against you or whatever it might be. And that doesn't necessarily, you know, negate the legal process and consequences that said person, you know, will face for that. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh, it totally does. Yeah. I think when I think about how do you, like the actual forgiving and the process of forgiveness, it's another Tim Keller quote, and that is, I heard a message that he spoke about forgiveness, and he talked about the continual habitual practice of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So when you said, like, I forgive, like I ask God to help me forgive this person, but it's that reminding yourself that it has,
I have forgiven.
Mm-hmm. And I think for me, like, I say it out loud. Mm-hmm. And when that comes back up, I'll start to go, wait a minute, this was wrong. This was so wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay, wait, I have actually saying I have forgiven, like, and I choose to forgive and I choose to still forgive. Mm-hmm. Because one, I think for me, it's my brain hearing that truth out loud. Mm-hmm. Not just thinking it, but like hearing it, like it's just continually letting that, like, just my brain focus on that and then my heart and like just the complete release of that.
Yes.
Like it takes time.
It takes time.
It does take time. And I think, like, I don't know if this makes sense, but I'm going to talk it out, but I can tend to, like, in a situation, if I'm hurt, I can go back through it and, you know, overthink or second guess everything or just analyze everything about the situation. And then I can say, well, you hurt me. Okay, well, where did I hurt you? And I'm still trying to, like, even the scales a little bit, you know? And so I don't know if that even makes sense or if that's the right reference. But what I hear you saying or hear us saying is, like, when we think about the we've been forgiven much. That's a deeper identity of forgiven mm-hmm. people, and not necessarily in the situation. And maybe it's both. But in the situation, like, okay, I did this wrong. Mm-hmm. I've been forgiven. You did this wrong. Okay, we're both evenly forgiven, you know? And so, but when that's true, but also there's this like, we're forgiven people because mm-hmm. of what the work Christ did, you know? And so that's where I have to land. I think that's what we're saying, but, cause I can just be so action performance, you know, based, or like, hey, what actually mm-hmm. happened? But let me take it a level deeper. And what did Christ do on the cross? If that makes sense.
It does. And okay. I think a good litmus test for that, coming back to the whole unburdening, or to use the word debt, whatever that might be, is if I find myself thinking this person owes me.
Yes.
They owe me an apology. They owe me money. They owe me whatever it might be because they've wronged me. Then I haven't forgiven.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm still doing the, okay, you did this, so I deserve this.
That's good.
I think that's a good practical litmus test of like, have I really forgiven this person? I think there still could be a desire. Like, I wish this person would come and make right. Mm-hmm. But I think if there's an expectation or like a quid pro quo, I will forgive you when you ask for forgiveness. You might be waiting a long time. Yeah.
And right. I think sometimes my expectation can be like, your debt's going to cancel out my debt. Yeah. You know, and I'm like, does that, versus
we'll
like,
call it even.
We'll call it even. And I'm like, I don't know if that's the way it works.
Well, and I think the picture of the scale says a lot. Yeah. Like, sometimes we do, we want mm-hmm. the scales to, we want it to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not.
No, life is
and
not.
We can wait for an apology. We can wait for someone to come back and admit something. And we could wait forever.
Yes.
And so.
And many people have.
Yes.
Yes.
And to say, and I know there's folks I know watching that, some of the people that you haven't forgiven aren't here anymore.
Yeah.
And it's so painful. Yeah, and you can still forgive that person and name those things and release them from the burden and the debt that they owe you. But the truth is that even generationally, you know, we could look at family members or and you know, there's no conflict like family conflict.
Amen.
And so when there's some of this unforgiveness and that unforgiveness turns into bitterness, bitterness turns into resentments.
Yes.
And it really does begin to physically affect you.
I think I've seen that in people in my family and in people that I've had the privilege of walking with. And it's so hard to watch that. And I think the reality of, and that leads me to the phrase, and this was a phrase that I heard a lot growing up. And I don't know if you, I think you've heard this, but forgive and forget. Mm-hmm. Like, just forgive and forget about it and move on. But I don't think our, like, the body keeps score, which is not a Christian book, but it's a book that really helps outlay what happens to our bodies because of our experiences. And there's something that happens to us when we don't. It's really hard.
For sure.
Yeah. It's hard to release that. So
yeah, I think it starts to make, and I've experienced it, where it starts to make your heart sick. It begins to cloud other relationships. Mm-hmm. And you can tell, I think you can physically tell over time people that are holding on to things.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say like an unburdened person is not an unhurt person.
Mm. True.
You know, I think some of the most unburdened people that I know, freest people that I know, have been hurt deeply. Yeah. I mean, wounded greatly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they've learned the art. Yeah. And I say art because I don't think it's a B, C, D linear process. I think there is a movement of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And there's great practices that we're talking about, but there's a movement. The Spirit's always moving us towards releasing people and giving them, like literally giving them to the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that because I think sometimes I still grieve things that I feel like I've forgiven. Hmm. And do those things go hand in hand? You know, like, because sometimes I'm like, I'm still grieving this hurt. Does that mean I'm holding on to unforgiveness? And maybe, you know, but I think that's where I can confuse the two.
I think so. Well,
you know,
Jen and I worked with a counselor together for a couple of years. She was great. And one of the things that she talked to us extensively about is the difference between desires and expectations between one another, our family, you know, and you just et cetera, et cetera. But I do think it's a sign that there might be something in the neighborhood of unforgiveness when we have big time expectations.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's a lot of times, even when we're talking about families, like people have such anxiety around the holidays and when we're doing family gatherings because of expectations. Mm-hmm. I'm expected to stay this amount of time, be this person, all the things. Mm. But the difference, you know, what you're saying, I think is, Lindsay, is I think it's still okay to have deep longings and desires. Mm. You know, like I wish that my relationship with you could be this way. I would desire it. And I'm trusting God with that.
Yeah.
Instead of like, I expect you to show up in these ways.
That's good. That's
and helpful. Especially since we have this thing going where you did this to me and I've done this to you, and we kind of get in this weird codependent dance with each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's helpful. Yeah.
I do think expectations like play into so much of how we interact with one another and how do we forgive with those expectations. Mm. And when we get into how do we walk in forgiveness, it's the release of those expectations. I remember being newly married and going, I had no idea I had this expectation, and being so angry and going, okay, wait, that's not realistic. Yeah. And talking it out and getting help to talk it out, you know, like we had to get help to help us talk it out. And I think, walking through the, in a relationship, it takes time.
Yeah.
And, there's a place that there is grief in it, and then there's a place that there's forgiveness, and we move forward.
Yeah.
But
I think another, Suzanne, and that I think again, just practically speaking on forgiveness, because it's such a big topic, and as Lindsay, as you've mentioned, like it's hard to know have I forgiven this person, because it still hurts.
Yeah.
And I think I would say, like, you know, you can spiritually unburden someone and it still hurts like heck. I mean, just like, even just to think about it, it hurts. And to see that person, it hurts. And and I think it's okay also to draw like huge boundaries around people that have hurt you.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, above all things, guard your heart because it's a wellspring of life. So if someone proves themselves to be you know, unable to handle your heart and to care for you, it's okay to draw some good boundaries. But again, I think when we kind of travel in this whole, I have expectations of other people, all these other people. And I think another one too, is like when you find yourself not asking other people for forgiveness is a real telltale sign of like, I'm probably holding on to that with other people, because people who ask for forgiveness, typically know how much they've been forgiven. And it's crazy. Like, you know, if like, I'm not like great at this, and you could ask Jen about this, my kids, but it's a really powerful thing when you name with someone to their face, like, and say, I'm sorry, would you please forgive me? And they don't have to give it to you.
Yeah.
So it's a place of deep, like vulnerability and transparency, and they could say, no, I don't forgive you. But if your heart's in a posture of like, I know that I've offended you, sinned against you, and I would like your forgiveness. I mean, I know that I've received it from the Lord, but I would like it from you. I think that really is a demonstration of a posture of someone who understands kind of the realm of forgiveness and when they're asking for it and not demanding it from other people all the time.
That's such a good word. And I think of my kids when you say that, like the practice of how we interact in a family, and because we wrong each other on a regular basis. We are very real people. We're very
just by proximity.
Well, I mean, we run into each other on a regular basis. And so it's been interesting to watch, hey, what does it mean to forgive your brother for what he just did? What does it mean? And to watch them kind of begin to process, how do I forgive? And I'm too angry right now. And I need space. And to go, it's okay that you need space. I want you to take the space to have it and have the time to process this. I don't want you to say, I'm sorry, just to say, I'm sorry. Like that's a conversation that we've had a lot. And I think it, I'm hoping down the road that will help them in relationships walk in that. But I know it's one of the things for me that has been helpful, like to give myself the space to go, okay, I need some space. And I so believe in the boundaries to protect our hearts. Like there are people that are safe people, and there are people that are not safe, unfortunately, on this side of eternity.
And you find that out.
You do.
And you know, we did a series a couple of years ago. I was thinking about that today in preparation for this, called Sandpaper People. And it was based on a book. And you know, we talked about the difference between a sandpaper person that honestly are a lot of people that we're in community with that we just, the metaphor of sandpaper, it's just, it's refining us and it's, mm-hmm. it's making us more polished and mm. more like Jesus. And then wood chippers, like people that just literally would destroy you. I mean, if they could, it's like a wood that it would just, if you ever seen like a branch that goes into a wood chipper, it's like, and it turns into mulch. And there are people out there like that.
Yeah.
And I do think that with those folks, like, you know, you need to draw strong boundaries. Yes. It doesn't mean that you can't forgive that person. I don't think it means that you need to journey with that person. Mm. I was just going to say, I want to come back to the forgive and forget thing.
Yeah. Yes.
And talk about that for a second. Yeah.
Let's unpack that, because that's one of the things I was taught, which is why for me with my kids to go, hey, give yourself some space to process this. Yeah. Because I was told to forgive and move on, like just forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
don't really know in my humanness how to do, in my brain, how to just do that.
Well, I was thinking two great resources talk a lot about forgive and forget. Lisa Turkhurst's book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget, is an excellent resource on forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And then, it's good. And then The Place We Find Ourselves, a podcast, is Adam Young. Yeah. But they have a whole series on forgiveness and the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. But his thing is like forgive and remember. And not remembering as in like
an offense,
but remembering as in like the faithfulness of God and remembering you're a forgiven person and remembering that person in the image of God and then remembering as far as boundary, you know, that you talked about, like, hey, what boundary do I need to set? So I love the forgive and remember and not in an offense, still in an unburdening. But that's that helps you, because I have people in my life that I remember, you know, but I've forgiven. Like I have people a long process of forgiveness, and so I would run into them, and I feel light when I see them, and I don't remember you offended me, but I'm like, oh, I remember. Like, look what we've come through, you know. And how are you? And I'm genuinely, I'm like, wow. Yes. Like I just had a random thought, but this is from Lisa Turkhurst, and she talked about like when you can pray for blessing, like when you are able to like bless a person, it gives me chills, like that hurt you. And this person's not in my life anymore, but I like want good for them.
But you're free.
I'm free. Yeah. And I want good for them. Yeah. And that is when I feel like, okay, like I've moved to the other side of that. So anyway,
I would say that is a part of what I walk through with when I've been offended, when I can stop and pray that God will just bless them and, you know, like blessing upon blessing in their life, into what they need, letting them, like releasing them to God to say, God, please bless them. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I were them, if I would have done something different. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that I would have chosen differently because I wasn't in their shoes and I haven't walked their journey. Mm-hmm. So that one is really huge of how do I pray for blessing for this person?
Yeah. To that point, Suzanne Gabe and I were talking about a little entry that he saw in Scotland. I wasn't with him, but he said they were in a little chapel, and on a stained glass window in a little chapel, it said, if all were understood, all would be forgiven. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's a provocative thought. But the way I took that was, you know, if we understood people's stories, if we understood what they were thinking at the time, if we understood the pain that they were in, I mean, whatever it might be, it might help us to move towards releasing them. Doesn't mean it didn't hurt. Yes. It doesn't mean it wasn't wrong what they did.
Good.
It's not excuse. You know, forgiveness is not excusing it. It's naming this was wrong. Mm. What you did was wrong, and it hurt. And it had consequences. It still has consequences. Yeah. It still hurts me, and I'm releasing you.
Yeah.
And I think there is, I know it's like a kind of like a kid sound kind of like cliche, but I do think like forgiveness is setting someone free and realizing long term it's me. I'm the one actually that has been set free.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little bit biblically of, you know, when it talks about, you know, which I used to hear this in like a violent way, but like pouring ashes on your offender's head or whatever. But it's actually a rich, you know, understanding of setting them free and mourning. I was like, that sounds great. Like could enact some violence against someone.
Yeah. Ashes are hot.
So. But just the whole idea of like, I to your point, Suzanne, like I could really set this person free, and I actually could even go to Jesus on this person's behalf and want good for them instead of like thinking about all the ways that I wish calamity would come upon
come
them.
Come upon them.
Which is kind of a sign that you haven't set them
free.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a good sign.
I think, sorry, it's like got me thinking. But I think the thing too that hinders me from forgiveness or takes longer for me to forgive is you have to name the pain and you have to name the hurt. And sometimes that's vulnerable to do because you got to sit in it. Yeah. I think, you know, and so sometimes for me, I'm like, well, it's okay. Like, my therapist is always like, you can just be angry. You know, you don't have to say, but I'm okay. You know, and so I can tend to polish it or be like, oh, it's okay. Or try to say I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And that instead of like living in that anger or hurt or pain.
Hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, it hurts. And that and it's uncomfortable to sit in that pain. And but Jesus meets you there. And I think that's where you have to go there to be able to forgive. And so I think that's what sometimes for me is just it's hard to sit in that pain.
It is. And I think if you're watching, you're kind of going, well, how do I pursue this with someone? Because I do think there's
a
private spiritual reality of releasing someone. Mm-hmm. Irregardless of whether you communicate that to them or not. And then there's other times where I think it is appropriate to approach someone. Mm-hmm. I think about this in terms of sports, like if you watch basketball this time of year, like, you know, there's two different types of fouls. There's like kind of an inadvertent foul. Like it was still a foul, but it's not like you were trying to do this. It just was a part of the game. Mm-hmm. And then there's what's called a flagrant foul. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like this was intentional. Yeah. You know, you grab somebody or you, you know, try to stop them or whatever. I do think categorically that helps to understand like how you approach people. Mm-hmm. I think with flagrant fouls, things that are just willful, like you really should proceed with a lot of caution and some help from some counselors, pastors, other people in your community group that can help you think through what's best in approaching that person because they could commit another flagrant foul in that.
Right, right. Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that you mentioned this, Suzanne, like we just bump into each other that are inadvertent. They're just kind of part of life, kind of part of the game.
Yeah.
And that sometimes people didn't really intend to wound you, but they actually stepped into part of your story that they didn't even know.
Yeah.
And they said something or they did something and it hit you really deep, but they didn't mean it that way. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, I've had a million of those that I've done and I'm sure that have happened to me. And I do think that's where you can tactfully and kindly, really in graciousness, approach people and just like, hey, like that hurt and here's why, because of my story.
Yeah.
And most of the time with people in your life that way, they would want to know that and they would never want to wound you in that way.
Yeah. Right.
And I think, but I do think that's something practically as you think about these things with friends, family members, community, your kids, spouse, to think through like, are these flagrant fouls or is this just like part of the game of living in community and life and with broken people that bump into each other? And I do think, you know, biblically there's a principle of like, can I step over it?
That's good.
You know, like, is this something that I need to go through a whole restoration process with someone or is this something that I can go, that hurt? Lord, they didn't know what they were saying. I forgive them. And I really can step over it and move on. Or you would be like literally every day filling every your day. Calendar with all the people that offended you.
Seriously.
Do you know what I mean?
No, 100%. It's constantly, I think there are ways, you could spend every day going back to people going, hey, you said this and this was this and that.
Yeah.
Like you can't get anything else done. Yeah. But
you know, I mean, we all at this table and you guys know. You know the people and the instances where it's like, this brings me deep pain on a consistent basis.
Yes.
And when I think about forgiveness or unforgiveness, these faces pop up to me.
Absolutely.
Yep. And that's the spirit.
Yeah.
For sure.
It just reminded me of a funny story. I was on the phone with my mom a couple years ago, and I'm like telling her about the situation. Somebody offended me, and I'm going on and on. And at the end, I finished talking, and she's like, that sounds like something you can just step over.
I love your mom.
And I was like,
love Catherine.
Click.
You're right.
Click.
Yeah. I was like, but no.
Now you've offended me.
Yeah. I was like, now I'm mad at you. No. But it was. It was something I could step over. But
totally.
That phrase.
Doesn't mean it didn't hurt.
It didn't
hurt.
Yes.
Yes.
Doesn't mean it didn't,
but I didn't
wound.
Mean,
it just means like, I really can
I'm like,
step over
you're right.
This.
I can step over this. So anyway, that phrase reminded me of that because I was not pumped at the time, but she was right. Yeah.
But I do think this is true that, that folks who harbor unforgiveness, it's like a vacuum cleaner. And so it tends to attract that. Like you just tend to be more sensitive. And I know I've gone through seasons like that where I'm holding something and then it feels like, man, all these other people are doing things too. And it just hurts all over because there's something that's hurting. And that's then good. When people touch it just in relationship, it's just hurting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just something to pay attention to.
That's good.
I think there's so much we could talk about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I think we could do a whole series, but, as we are in this season of Lent and practicing, I hope that you've heard today us say that this is a journey. This is a practice.
Yeah.
This is a continual thing that we're all doing and that it is, not something that you can just be one and done.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we are going to continue to work on because we have been forgiven much. And that is, it is something that we never stop doing.
Yeah. No.
And hopefully we can always remember how much we've been forgiven.
Yeah. Yes.
And that we can walk in that.
Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of church calendar, you know, when we're in a Lenten season like this, it is an annual time to take stock. Mm-hmm. And if there are things that I'm holding, and maybe I didn't even realize it, but as we journey to the cross together and things pop up, it's a chance really to clear accounts and to unburden people and to unburden ourselves at the cross, right?
Amen. I love that idea of in this season of Lent to practice it. Like, what are the things I need to walk through forgiveness that I haven't fully done that yet?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a beautiful picture for this season. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Chris, will you pray for us?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Thanks.
Love to. Yeah. God, thank you for my friends. Thank you for our conversations together. Thank you for a place where we can share with each other. We can be honest, generous, and real. And we can also come to you for truth and be reminded, Jesus, of your practice of forgiveness towards us, that you unburdened us of the debt that we owed you. And so I pray for each of us that you would help us to reorient ourselves in this Lenten season to the cross and all that that means. And I pray for a friend right now that's listening that is deeply wounded and hurt, Lord, that you would meet them in that and you would, through your Spirit, give them the next steps that they're meant to take in the forgiveness journey. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Chris, thanks for joining us
thanks
today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening and watching. And until next time, we'll see you then.